What's up, everybody? Welcome back to another episode of 314 Punk. Before we jump into this episode, I just wanted to share about a show that I went to last week. It was this past weekend. It was at the Heavy Anchor. It was The Disappeared with Fight Back Mountain and Pleasure Center. Great show. Really enjoyed it. Disappeared. We're awesome as always. If you have not listened to that episode with Brad from The Disappeared, it's the one previous to this one. I highly recommend checking that out. They're just veterans of the scene, and they do it right. So, and then Fight Back Mountain played as well. They're an awesome band. Adrian was the first episode of this podcast, so go back and check that out as well if you haven't listened to that. And they have an album come out that is coming out, I believe, on October 15th. That is due out for pre-order right now. You can go to therecordspace.com and pre-order that. So make sure to do that. And then Pleasure Center also played, which was their first show. Greg Stinson, who was in The Humanoids and Step On It and a bunch of other bands back in the day, he was in that band. They were kind of a indie pop band. They were really fun. So it was just a great show. Really, really cool. So a couple of shows that I wanted to share with you guys that are coming out coming up this weekend is September 10th at the Sinkhole. It is Super Fun Yeah Yeah Rocket Ship with Direct Measure, Night Fever, and Night Fervor, and Night Forever, something like that. And then Placeholder, it's their record release show that is September 10th at 7 p.m. It's $10. And then also happening is on the 13th at the Sinkhole is Stink Bomb with Crimson Riot and No Point. So make sure to check that out. That's at 7:30. The show's at 8. Both of those are 10 bucks. Don't forget, you have to have a negative COVID test or a vaccine card to get in. So, and also, this episode is with Goaltender. These guys are awesome. They kind of remind me of Knuckle Puck story so far. They're just an awesome band. Really enjoyed talking with them. They're playing a show with me on October 9th at the Heavy Anchor, and you can get tickets at theheavyanchor.com. Hope to see you guys there, and enjoy this episode with Danny and Aaron. All right, Aaron and Danny from Goaltender, how are you guys?
What's up, buddy?
Great.
I'm so glad to meet you.
I'm glad to meet you too, dude.
Finally. I've been listening to your music a whole lot.
Oh, thank you. I've been listening to Goaltender a shit ton, so.
Really?
Yes.
Okay.
Dude, I've been listening to your, the newish EP that you put out that has like, so codependent.
Yeah. Okay.
On your own.
That was pre-Aaron and pre-Dave.
Okay. Yeah. It's, I really, really like it a lot.
Cool, man. Yeah.
I mean, I'm a big fan. I'm a big, if you've listened to the podcast, you know I'm like a big melody person, and I'm a big like guitar, even melody in the guitars too. Yeah. Like I like to hear a lot of that stuff. So and you guys kind of hit, it checks a lot of boxes for me. Let me just put it that way.
Dude, I'm glad I could fill those boxes for you.
Yeah, Danny was the only guitarist in that time period.
Oh my God, yeah. What a challenge that is. Yeah. And it's trying to sing like backup vocals at the same time. Oh my God. Let's just say I kind of screwed up a few shows. Like,
that's okay.
It's technical, you know.
It is. So, tell me, both of you guys, like, of course, now with several episodes of this podcast are out, like, you know, I'm gonna ask you, like, what was your punk rock aha moment, like the band or the show, or the album or the song that really hit you of like, oh, dude, this is really hitting me, like, in the heart.
Yeah, so, like, I think the first one, and I was so young at the time, was, it's either one or the other. It's Taking Back Sundays, This Photograph is Proof, or Armor for Sleep, Car Underwater.
Oh, yeah.
That song is really good.
So, and is the Taking Back Sunday one? It's I know you know every
yeah. Okay. It's, you know, Fred's all over that track.
Yeah,
he's, dude, that guy is such a, he was, in my opinion, like probably the better member of that band for like years.
I really liked the Fred era of Taking Back Sunday. I feel like Louder Now is a very underrated.
I agree. I was listening to that record the other day, and I was just listening to like just random stuff, and then Miami came on.
That's Miami. God damn
you. Dude, I feel so bad. I've never listened to this album.
That record is top notch.
You can edit that out. I feel bad for not listening to Taking Back
Sunday. I also wanted to tell people, there's like, I don't do a lot of editing with the podcast. Like it's a very like, it's just not that kind of, I've never been the type of, I mean, if you really had something that you were like, please take that out, I wasn't supposed to say that. Like, you know, if a band like announces a tour and they weren't supposed to, okay. I'll take that out.
Why'd you
let
it slip, man?
Yeah, you know. Wes, you're gonna have to take this whole thing out. Let's start. Damn it. Let's start over.
But I like that it's like organic.
No, you know what I mean? I love that too. Yeah. I mean,
what about you?
Yeah. Okay. I used to work at a steakhouse. This is a long story. I used to work at a steakhouse in Washington, Missouri.
Okay.
And my boss, my manager, was in a punk rock band. Can I name drop the name of the band? Model Citizen.
Mm.
If you happen to hear about them.
I've heard the name, don't know much about them though.
Well, it was my boss was in the band. He was the lead singer and guitarist. Jeff, he's so cool. But I had just got into the story so far. This is probably 2013, maybe. I was a little late to the scene, but
Nothing wrong with that.
Well, yeah. He ended up giving me a whole bunch of CDs that had like artists that he liked, because he heard me talking about the story so far, and I'm like, okay, we'll check these things out. And then one of the CDs, it said Citizen on it.
Oh.
And I thought it was his band, because he said his band was Model Citizen. I got so mixed up, so I'm like, oh my god, this record's amazing. Yeah.
Which record was it?
It was Youth.
Yeah.
That's the album.
That's such a good album. Dude, so good.
I delved into this like depression, even though I wasn't sad at all. But I, like anytime I would hear it, I'd drive home listening to that. That's such a great record. Yeah. I have it on vinyl now.
It's such the perfect like fall weather.
Yes.
Album. Oh my god.
Rainy fall day, yeah. Like gloomy. Yeah, right. It is so fucking good. And I actually like, I'm a really positive person, but I sometimes, you know. Over the last few years especially, I've learned to like deal with my emotions.
Sure.
Sometimes you need to put on like, hey, I know this is gonna, I'm gonna put this on, I know I'm gonna get emotional, I might even fucking cry, but like I need that right now.
Feel your
you know
feelings,
what I mean,
man.
Yeah,
all about that,
you
know?
Should yeah. You should, like, it's one of those things, not to get too deep too early on, but like it's one of those things that we're not taught, that I definitely wasn't taught as a younger dude, and like that it's I feel like it's part of toxic masculinity to be like, boys don't cry, man up, don't hold it in, bottle it up.
Yeah,
I think you bottle it up and it comes out. For me, if you bottle it up and you don't like show that emotion, let it out, it turns into anger or rage or frustration or something way worse. Or you just try to drink it away, or you know. Hey, nothing wrong. We're drinking now, but we're drinking because we're having good times, baby.
Yeah. We're drinking light, girly drinks, and I think that's okay too.
Yes. Men can like truly seltzers and what is this? Bud Light lemonade? Okay.
I think Post Malone was in a commercial and I was like, I'm gonna just drink that.
Dude, I actually that Post Malone Spider-Man song.
I listened to that all
the time. Yes. That song is so fucking good.
Yeah, I know.
Legit. Yeah.
Did you watch the movie?
Oh, hell yeah, dude. I actually went and saw that movie twice in the theater.
No way.
I thought it was so good.
I saw this again. Yeah, I'm the odd one. Yeah, I have no idea.
It's on Netflix now, I think, so if you have Netflix.
I am not in the Marvel Universe. I do not really care for any like superheroes. Sorry, guys, but like the best one, though, it always has been the best one with the original. Spider-Man was the best superhero.
With Tobey Maguire?
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
As cringy as it might be sometimes.
I liked Spider-Man 2 from that. That one was really good. Yeah.
I remember that. I was so into those movies as a kid.
I went back and I'm like, my friends were like, you want to watch this new Spider-Man movie? And I'm like, I don't know, man.
The new ones are good.
But then it ended up being so freaking
cool. They are really good, yeah.
Like, the animation's different for each character, too.
Oh,
so
yeah.
So, like, one's choppy, one's a little smooth, one's like an anime character. It's so weird.
Yes, like
they did a good job.
That was a really good one for sure. So, going back, So you heard Citizen.
Yeah.
Story so far, they're awesome too. I actually met those guys in 2016 when they came through town. We podcasted with them.
Really?
And
that was for your old podcast, yeah.
Yeah, my old podcast, Strange House. And yeah. I keep in touch a little bit with Will, one of the guitarists. We've been at some festivals that they were at, and like we'd run into each other. He's a really good dude. I feel like they are one of these bands that's like kind of redefined pop punk a little bit. Like,
oh yeah,
because their music, like, especially their newer stuff, as they've like, I mean, the older albums like Under Soil and Dirt, great album, but that's like straight up pop punk. You know, now their stuff is like, it's a lot more chill. It's a lot more laid back. I mean, there's some energizing songs in there that have that punk energy still, but it's like, it's just different. And I like that. I think it's cool.
Well, you know what kind of sucks about that in particular is that they are changing as a band and they're also maturing, because they were kids when they started that, you know, but now they're like, their music has grown with them too. And it's hard to please people. I love their newest record. It's so awesome, but it's a lot different from anything that maybe you would start hearing Story So Far playing. And a lot of people just can't relate with that, or like, this album sucks, man. They should play the old stuff. I'm like, no, they're a band. They're like, they're writing new stuff and they're proud of it. Like, it's cool.
Absolutely. Absolutely. So I my take on all that is like, and I'm trying to make sure that I'm not just like recycling the same stories on this podcast, but like, like the Get Up Kids is one of my favorite bands. Mm-hmm. Something to Write Home About was like, it was their sophomore album, but it is absolutely, there's not a skippable track on there. There's, I mean, there's some that I don't like as much as others, but like, it's a flawless album that defined like Midwest emo, know? And then their next album comes out and it's like completely different. It had this like almost kind of classic rock, like weird folky type stuff to it. And everybody was pissed. And I think they alienated a lot of fans because of that. They went into kind of a different direction. And like now they've kind of circled back and they're back to their kind of like their roots a little bit more. Mm-hmm. But my big thing with that is like the album that came out, that like you like one album, and then they come out with another one and you don't like it. Yeah. I think it's because people are comparing it to the one that they like. Mm-hmm. If you look at the albums as a standalone thing,
right,
it's good. Mm-hmm. With the Get Up Kids, On a Wire, it's different, but it's still really good.
Yeah.
And you know,
it's because it's like a new band almost.
Yeah, yeah, exactly. You're
kind of getting that, but it's like a new, their newest generation of that band, basically.
Right.
I guess you would call it.
Mm-hmm. I don't want to like, I as a musician, I think, and I'd be interested to hear what you guys have to say, like, I want to progress. Mm-hmm. Like, I want to get better. I want to write better songs. I want to incorporate new things into my music, you know, like, but you also don't want to get too far away from like your sound.
Yeah, that's your roots, you know.
That's the struggle. That's definitely the struggle with it. I think that's something that we're definitely like having a lot, not necessarily like identity issues with, but like just kind of like having new members and having new like cooks in the kitchen. It's just like, you're definitely going to get a different sound. And I think that's something that we're definitely like kind of on the cusp of, you know, like we're writing new stuff and it's definitely different, but it's like,
sick though.
Yeah. It has the same like kind of like, for us anyway, it has like the same kind of release as like our last like record, like the last music, like the last record that came out, like the music with that. I would say like personally, I have just as much fun playing these songs as I do the other, like the older material that I had nothing to do with.
Well, that means a lot.
So, I mean, there's just moments where I'm like, damn, we're really doing something here. And this is going to be really cool to like a lot of people, I think. And like, hopefully a lot of the same people are going to be like kind of catch on to that, but like there's enough of a difference there possibly where it's like, okay, this is a little different, like this might, like I don't know, I've definitely been in that scenario too.
Yeah, it's kind of been not like a struggle or anything, but it's you know, I was the only guitarist forever for the past 3 years, and then we were able to snag these guys up and they're just amazing. Like I can't thank for Yeah. I can't thank you guys enough for like doing that. I'm not trying to suck your dick, but it's I don't know, it's kind of weird because yeah, there are new ideas coming to the table. I mean, we've had members come and go. I mean, not for anything personal or anything, it's just maybe their heart's not into it, or
sure
you've seen that before, I'm sure, you know. But writing this music has been a new kind of adventure for me because like I have more like people I can bounce off of, you know?
Yeah,
like Aaron, like yeah. Me and Aaron can, we sometimes Skype each other, and then that's an old person.
Yeah. Oh, Skype, FaceTime each
dude,
other.
I use Skype at work all the time. Yeah. It's just like our favorite. It's like yeah. the easiest way to communicate with yeah. people. Like,
well, yeah,
it's like when you're recording, you call it taping.
Yeah,
exactly. Yeah,
yeah, exactly.
But we're you know, we'll call each other in the middle of the night. I'm like, hey, I got something I wrote, and I don't know what to do with it next. Okay, and then to listen to it. All right. Here you go, and then write it down. It's just like, it's cool that I can bounce that idea off of more people now, which is
sure.
really, you know, it's helping, you know. Our music has evolved.
That's awesome.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and it's really sick to see. Like, I don't know, I'm proud of
yeah.
it.
The process is different.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, it's exciting. Like, even for myself, like, the stuff that I'm putting out now, like, that's... people can listen to, like, it's so different than the stuff that I'm writing. I don't want to say it's so different,
it's different, like, in the best way.
It's yeah, yeah, it's different. Like, I've progressed, I've gotten a little mm-hmm. bit better, I've improved. And then mm-hmm. if you listen to stuff that, like, we were talking about recording ourselves, like when I very first started playing around with GarageBand and demoing shit, mm-hmm. I was like, I felt like the stuff back then that I was writing was good. I was like, and our bass player Jacob is my best friend for 20 years, and like I send him everything first because he'll give me an honest opinion. Sometimes he'll
yeah.
be like, dude, this is good, but like nothing's really jumping out at me about it. It's
I
just kind of like a
too.
Filler song on a radio. You know what I mean? Like he's like, you know, it just kind of sounds like other stuff that you've written before. There's nothing really new here. And so then whenever he's like, holy shit, this is fucking amazing, that's when I know I've like really struck gold with something,
yeah.
you know, or that I've really gotten somewhere. But some of my old stuff, like, you know, from 2 or 3 years ago that I was writing and demoing, was just like, it's interesting to go back and just see the progression.
It was just totally like, it was still derivative a little bit.
Yeah.
Like the older stuff, and you were still like in touch with that a little bit.
For sure.
You had to kind of like let it go a little
absolutely.
Bit. Yeah,
absolutely.
Yeah. It's all about like the little tiny, like, okay, like I have to like little tiny, like step back and then just kind of like, but this is still pretty cool. And you kind of reprieve back to it. Like,
yeah.
You kind
yeah.
of get back to it.
Like, I still wanted to play like real fast,
sure.
like skate punk type stuff,
oh, yeah.
all the time, you know. And I like adding that in once in a while, but mm-hmm. like maybe not in the same way that I was in the past,
yeah.
you know. So
it's all about flavor and context, you know.
Yeah,
yeah.
For sure. And it's the stuff now is a better reflection of it also depends on you and like where you're at as a person, you
yeah.
know what I mean? Like,
yeah.
oh my god, I write to my mood all the time, like,
yeah,
how I'm feeling within that month, and like everything kind of just pours out, like the emotions that mm-hmm. come out of my guitar, basically, you know, that's how I'm feeling that day. And then sometimes, you know, we'll write music within 1 month and then don't touch anything. We'll just
yeah.
practice those songs, and then the next month we'll write something. And it kind of sounds a whole like lot different. It's because I guess we're, you know,
yeah, just in different headspace.
In a different
mindset,
yeah. you know.
Yeah. Well, so tell me, how did you, Aaron, I know you're a newer member in
mm-hmm.
Goaltender, and then are you a founding member?
I am.
Okay, yeah. So how did you, so you heard Citizen, you heard Story so far, and these like really struck a chord with you, no pun intended on that,
right? Yeah.
how did the formation of Goaltender then happen?
Oh my god, well, it kind of all started, I have a few buddies that are from my hometown that yeah, dude,
I'm good right now. Yeah.
Well, drink
okay.
up, man.
This is like the new thing now. I feel like there's a recurring theme of like Truly's on the podcast.
That's why I brought my seltzer today. I was like, okay, I have to do that. It's
yeah.
a tradition now, you have to do it.
Yeah.
I had some homies from, you know, my high school that we started a metal band. Everybody starts in a metal band, I feel like. At least everybody in my hometown did. It was always just metal bands. There was no pop punk bands, there was no emo bands. And some of us faded away, but then we got back together and we were like, hardcore is cool. Let's try to write something like that. And then it turned into, like, around 2016, it was just me, my buddy Jacob, my buddy Colton, and we were just writing, like, instrumental kind of stuff.
Okay.
And we didn't know what we were going to do with it, you know? But I was going to East Central College at the time, and then in my math class was this, like, everybody was super old because it was a night class, a night course. Except one dude who showed up late, and it was our singer Ben.
Oh, nice.
And he, you know, he looked like he was like a punk rocker, and I'm like, okay, I might become friends with this guy. And then he came up to me because I was wearing a Fall of Troy hoodie, and he goes, dude, my buddies played with them. And I'm like, yeah, right, man. But, no, it ended up being true. But yeah, we hooked up from there, and like, just, we're like, he's like, yeah, you could listen to my, you know, band I was in, Old State. And I'm like, all right.
Oh, dude, Ben was in Old State?
Yeah, he was the original vocalist.
Okay, awesome.
Yeah,
and blew me away because I'm like, that's the music I want to write, man. Like, we fit the mold. And, you know, since then, you know, we've just jammed it out. I'm pretty proud of it.
That's
too.
Awesome.
Yeah, I mean, it just happened by accident. It was just this dude that looked like, you know, my age that was in the punk rock scene, you know,
yeah.
I could relate with.
And
then I met David, and then I met Aaron.
Yeah.
And
it all worked out.
Yeah.
I knew Ben for years before, I guess a couple of years before Old State was a thing.
Okay.
And I knew Ben from his old project called Witherton, because I booked his band at a couple of house shows that I used to throw down in Hillsboro, Missouri. And I had like this annual thing where like I did a holiday show where a bunch of like St. Louis bands would come down to Hillsboro and like play for all these kids that never got to see shows.
That's so cool.
Yeah, it was really cool. Like, I think at one point we had like at least 150 kids. Maybe.
Dude, that's so sick.
It was insane. Nothing got broken ever. Just super thankful.
You're lucky.
I know.
I had 8 people in my house, and there's a hole put in my wall.
Oh, dude, I have a funny story. If I can interject for a minute.
Ahead.
So there was this place, on Wash Ave in St. Louis for a while called, I think it's where there was a place called Hiro, H-I-R-O.
Okay.
I don't know if it's still there, but this place was called the Inferno Room, and it was like a Mexican restaurant, but the owners for some reason would like let us play shows there on Sunday, like it was like Sunday afternoons or something. Like,
okay.
It was weird, but it was cool at the time. Like, they had a PA and everything, and and it was very DIY. Like, they would push all the chairs back to the back so there was like an open space.
Be a church show.
And yeah. And sometimes they wouldn't even, like, the owners wouldn't even show up. They would like flake out and like wouldn't even, there'd be like a bunch of people standing outside and like the owners wouldn't be there to like let people in to do the show. It was just so weird. But like, I played a show there one time, and shows like that are really cool. Like, that's why I love the Sinkhole, is because like, if you get 30 people in there, it feels like you're playing to like a sold out crowd. You know? And that's how this place was. But this, some dude like
ruined it for everybody.
This band was touring and he was playing bass, and he like jumped onto like the guitarist's back or something like that, like piggyback ride. And the guy like fell backwards, and they put a massive hole in the wall.
Oh, no.
I don't even think the owners were there or anything. Like, I don't even know what came of that, but like, that was actually one of the coolest things that I ever saw. Was like,
it's very punk.
Dude putting the hole, like falling back into the wall. And there's just a massive like hole where his butt was. Like,
and shows never happened there again.
Right? No. I never played there ever again. But like, I did play there one time, and like, there was, like, I was supposed to play there, and like, the owners didn't show up, and the guy who booked the show was like, I can't get a hold of him, I don't know what to do. And there was this dude that was like, hey man, well, I know the manager down at Little Nicky's, which is like where Social House in Soulard is now.
Okay.
And they used to do shows there. They had a stage there and everything.
No way.
And he was like, if you guys are down, like, you know, I'll give him a call and we can drive down there and do the show there. And we did. And like, we literally drove, like, everybody that was standing outside, there was maybe only like 25 people there.
That's,
but like,
so
we all
the
just
show must go on.
Yeah, we all so just cool. drove down like, you know, several blocks, and
Jam,
like
sure.
they were like, we don't have anything booked tonight, so do it. And
that's
like,
so dope.
It was so
oh my
cool.
God. That was tight. Yeah, it was always like my friends' bands were coming in or whatever. So just people I knew.
Yeah.
And
it's cool that you were doing that. Like, I love that kind of stuff. Like, just, hey, we need to have shows. And
it just got to, I stopped doing it just because it got to be, like, too frustrating. Because, like, I wasn't enjoying it as much as I wanted to. And I was, like, I was too, like, proud to, like, let other people help me out. I was like, I can't do it, you know? Now I think I could probably do it, but it's like the climate's so weird with like the variant going
on. COVID, yeah, for sure.
So I was trying to keep it pretty clear and pretty safe. But anyway, I know Ben from that, and then I met Dave through trying out for another band, and then that didn't work out. That didn't pan out. And then.
What band? I'm gonna call them and tell them.
I'm kidding. I don't even remember their name. I'll be honest. It was like such a like brief moment of my life that I'm like, yeah, that was a thing. I'm sure if Dave was here, he'd be like, oh yeah, it's this guy. but like I met Dave through that, and like we just worked really well together. Like I think that night we wrote something in like 20 minutes and like just worked out. And then. I was like a solo acoustic artist and was never in rock bands or anything like that. And then I was in a couple bands, and Dave gave me a call saying that Ben had left or that they needed a vocalist. And I was like, well, he was asking me if I knew anybody. I was like, well, I mean, I can try. And then I don't think they took it seriously because they didn't know that I could sing at all like that. And then there they are. And then Old State, after like 3 or 4 years, was like, you know, we just got tired of it. And then I joined Reeling. And then last year, with COVID coming around, we just decided to kind of part ways from that because it felt like we lost a lot of momentum. And we felt like it wasn't necessarily like on our priorities at the moment. And then Dave gave me a call.
And we swooped you away.
Yeah, Dave gave me
right off your feet.
Dave gave me the call again. It was the prophetic call. You know, he was like, hey, you know, Ben and Danny here are looking for somebody to fill in on guitar and Goaltender. And I'd seen Goaltender a few times whenever we were playing with Reeling with Goaltender.
Yeah.
And it just kind of worked out. So it's just like, yeah, I'll do it, whatever.
What's weird is that I always had the mentality that I didn't want another guitarist. I was like, no. Not that I want to be the only guitarist, but that like this could be something different, just one guitarist, you know, something like,
yeah.
But recording, you know, with Nick at the Lumberyard, he was like, okay, you have a guitar solo, who has guitar solos anymore? And I'm like, me. And then he recorded me, and then the very next day he goes, dude, it's a cool solo, but you need rhythm guitar over it.
Oh, I'm like, yeah.
Yeah, okay. I didn't want to, you know, be too proud to, like, say no or anything like that. I'm like, I'd rather it sound good. And then, you know, it got brought up that maybe Danny should have a partner in this little thing. So, and I'm glad it worked out because I don't see it working out any other way. It sounds way fuller.
For sure.
I mean, and it's hard to sing and play guitar, like, playing leads and rhythm at the same time.
Yeah, absolutely, yeah.
It's barely not possible. I mean,
it's
not for me, at least.
Yeah.
Some people can do it.
First of all, I want to say, like, I think it's cool to still put solos in songs once in a while. You. Like, every once in a while, like, you know, I mean, with my songs, like, I at least want to put, some of my songs are, like, pretty straightforward, you know, but every once in a while I want to be like, I want people to know I can fucking rip. Like, you know what I mean? Like, I mean, it's not that, like, I necessarily want people to know, but I want to rip it out. I want to every once in a while be like, you know, just like, hey, like, let me bend some strings, or like, you know, just like, sometimes it just fits, you know? And even if it's a short solo and it's not super technical, sometimes it's really fun. And like, to people who don't play instruments, they see you playing a solo, even if it's simple, and they're like, holy shit, this dude's shredding, you know?
Yeah. I heard, okay, so Goaltender was mentioned on a podcast. I really can't remember the name right now, but I had just realized, like, I had a notification from Ben telling me that we were mentioned on a podcast, and I'm like, oh, weird, I'm gonna go check it out. And these guys were like, they sure have a lot of guitar solos. And it was like the worst compliment you could ever have, but he's like, it's pretty cool, you know. I'm like, I mean it's cool to me, I like doing it.
There was also lead singer syndrome with Shane Told, which is something that I would indulge in like on the trips down to reeling practice. And I was listening to the early November, like Ace Enders was on episode. That dude's tight, by the way.
Very cool dude, yeah. No, I've never met him, but yeah he seems awesome. And I'm a big early November fan.
Oh, he's hilarious.
Yeah, they had the pleasure of working with him.
Yeah. Well, we'll get to that in a second. I wanted to ask you about that,
And they were he was talking about the studio and like his going on. This is before they released Lilac, I think is what it's called. Yeah. He was talking about the projects that they were working on, and they just finished up working with Goaltender, and just before he name drops Goaltender, like Shane Told's like, oh, no. It was like, it like cuts him off a little bit. And it was so, I was like, he's like, and we're working with this one band from Missouri. He says there, I think. And like, Shane's like, oh, that's pretty cool.
Dude. And he told me this literally right before I was going to play a show. Like, I was on stage, like, setting up my gear, and he's like, hey, man, this is before he was in the band, but he's like, you were almost mentioned on a podcast. And I'm like, by who? By Ace. And I'm like, no. That's and then I had to go play right after
that. That's a pretty well-known podcast in the really alternative music scene, too, you know. Yeah. So, yeah, tell me a little bit about, like, you know, I'm familiar with the Lumberyard. It seems like those guys, like, I follow Nick... Bruzzese. Yeah. It seems like they're, I don't know, it seems like he's jumping around to different studios or something. I don't know. Right now, it seems like it, but he worked with Keep Flying, which are good friends of mine. Okay. They recorded there. Stage Moms is another band that...
Do they have the... They have like almost a ska kind of feel?
Yeah.
Yeah, we played a show with them a lot. Yeah, that was my first show with Goaltender, at the Way Out Club.
Yeah,
Keep Flying.
I was at that show.
Really?
I was at that show.
Oh my God. They're awesome, man.
Yeah, and Keep Flying, they're good friends of mine. The saxophone player is a good friend of mine, John James Ryan.
Dude, yeah.
He's
so cool.
He's the coolest dude. He's he's the tour manager for 4 Year Strong as well.
Yeah.
Yeah, and like he's the sweetest dude ever. Like just awesome guy. And just we so played nice. With them at the Sinkhole when they came. That was actually the last full band show that we played was at the Sinkhole with Keep Flying.
Mm-hmm. Wow.
And then but I know they recorded there and they have some they have horns, so they're kind of like ska, but it's more like ska core. It's more like punk with. They're like a punk rock band with
it's their own thing, homes, really. Yeah. I mean, it's very unique, and it was so weird to like be able to play with them, but then see that right after. I think it was right after we got done recording there, they were the next band in line.
Oh, really? Okay, yeah. That's cool. So this was fairly recent, within like the last couple of years.
Yeah, I think they've gone there twice, as so did we, but.
What was that experience like?
Really surreal. Like, I think my first Warped Tour might have been 2012 or 13, and Man Overboard was playing, and I've never listened to them, but then I got to watch them, and just, like, kind of fell in love with it right away, because it's very, like, they had very familiar, like, melodies that you can, like, they just reel you in, you know? And so weird. So then I think they just released a new album, I think around 2012, but I ended up listening my heart out like to that record and fell in love with them even more and just followed them all the way. But it's just weird being able to like go there and meet the guy.
Yeah.
Like, and at some point, you know, we had a guy filming for us. He filmed 3 of our music videos from the Philly area. And he's good friends with the guys at the Lumberyard, but because he would film for them a lot. But his name's Kurt. Oh crap! It's Kurt.
Kurt
handle on Instagram. Yeah.
Oh, I've met this dude.
Kurt Fowles. He's a great dude, man.
I've met him before at a fest in Texas. Hmm. I don't think he would remember me but I remember.
I bet he does. He's the nicest. Well, he.
I remember shaking his hand and being like, "Oh, you're oh crap! It's Kurt." Yeah.
Yeah.
It's the best handle ever made. I love it. Well, we were filming the newest music video, which was Honor Your Own. We went to Wildwood, New Jersey. I had to ride in the back of his car, like like the hatch. I had to sit back there, like lay down the whole hour ride back to Hamilton. And it was probably 12 o'clock or 1 o'clock in the morning when we started filming like the live action shots for that. And it was like 90 degrees in that sound room. But he comes up to me and he's like, "Man, this is surreal, isn't it?" And I'm like, "What do you mean?" He goes, "You're wearing like Man Overboard guitar, so is Jacob. Like, you guys are using their gear." And I'm like, "Honestly, it is pretty surreal. I'm just trying to stay cool, man."
Don't mention it, man.
Yeah, but no, Nick, he has a big personality. He's just so, he's loving, but he's super mean at the same time. And that's what makes him so cool. He's straight up with you and he will tell you, like, "This is the move you should make."
That's a New Jersey thing, I think, right?
It is. Yeah. It like, so is.
Nice, but not. Like,
I mean, how many times did he have to tell me he's from New Jersey while I was there? You know, he did a lot. Ace is from Hamilton, so like his hometown is where the studio is, from my understanding. I'm 99% sure. But, dude, Ace is just quiet, sweet. Well, you know, he'll watch, you know, and he's kind of the same way. He's, dude, phenomenal singer, too.
Oh,
but,
yeah.
He was trying to come up with melodies with Ben while I was tracking guitar or they were tracking drums or something. And, dude, those two are, like, the weirdest friends I've ever met in my life because they, like, talk shit on each other, to each other. And it's so cool. It's like a good relationship, but just over stupid stuff. One time I had walked into the studio getting ready to record and I'm like, "I need a capo because I'm an idiot." And I started writing music with a capo and they're like, "I don't even know if there's a capo in the studio because I forgot to bring one.
I don't
one.
Think I have a capo in here or anywhere."
Yeah, like, I wanted to try something new and it worked, but they're like, "This is a pain in the ass." So he's like, and Nick goes, "I think Ace has a capo. Go in there." And I'm like, "Hey, Ace, do you have a capo?" And he goes, "No, Nick has a capo. And I'll tell you exactly where it's at. He uses a capo to, like, store all of his cables and wires. He, like, has them clipped on there." And then I walk back in and I'm like, "Dude, Ace said I can use that capo." And he goes, "No, that's like, that keeps all my wires up." And then Ace comes in and he's like, "No, let him use the capo." And then Ace tried to grab the capo and then Nick grabbed it. And then before you know it, they literally tackled each other on the ground in the middle of the hallway, which is like that big, over a fucking capo. And it was just, dude, I mean,
it's like school, it's like high school.
Literally.
Shit.
And they're, yeah, they're just the best.
That's hilarious.
Great guys. I miss them. But they gave us all nicknames.
Really?
Yeah.
Can you divulge that? Can you, like, give us that info?
I guess. I don't remember Ben's. I know Scott, his Ace gave him the nickname MVP. Because they're like, "If you guys lose him, your band's going to shit." So Scott's still MVP. Because Scott's awesome.
Yeah, and he's from Jersey. So
and he's from New Jersey. That's why they love him so much, too. It's a fucking thing. But, I think I messed up a couple times during one session of recording and Nick called me D-head and then that just stuck. And like, great. And then at some point, I have it on video. We were trying to videotape a lot of stuff and there's this one video.
Videotape. There it is.
That's an old person's term.
Yeah.
I'm a nice
I like
guy
how you
too.
Looked at me and you go, "That's an old person's term."
See,
I didn't mean to, but yeah.
No, you're good.
Literally, he just like, he goes, "That's why you'll always be a D-head." I'm like, "Thanks." But I think, the best one was our old bass player, Jacob, I think just brought milk into the studio one time and like...
That sounds awful.
He's just drinking milk during the day, being a normal guy.
He does that.
And then Ace comes in to like, go like, "Hey, you guys ready for these songs, recording?" And he just looks over at Jacob and he goes, "Milky." So that was his nickname forever after that. Milky was the best.
Oh man,
dude, that's hilarious.
There's just something about a studio environment.
Yes,
yeah,
I totally agree. I was just thinking about how
they're kind of intimidating at the, but it's like
a
brotherhood at the same time.
So the most recent times I've recorded, it's been here at Encapsulated Studios with Gabe's
a
great guy.
Phenomenal. Yeah. Super, super smart.
I know, like, his work. I've never had the pleasure to meet him.
Though. Yeah, dude. Totally knows his shit. And like, and I also recorded here one time with Matt Amelung as mm-hmm. well. You said you did?
Yeah.
Yeah, okay.
He's hilarious, man.
Yeah. Oh, dude, he was great. He was great. And like, every time that I've recorded here, it goes smoother and smoother every time. Like, mm-hmm. But the last time that we recorded, it was just me and Gabe for the most part, because like, Hez, our drummer, comes in and like he plays, you know, he does the drum tracks, and then this time we had practiced our shit so much that like, it was really only two takes and we were done. Like, yeah. it was that, you know, because it's really hard to play a whole song through the entire time, sure. like, perfect.
Yeah.
But if you have bits and, like, okay, this part was good from this take and this part was good. If you have, like, two near perfect takes, you're good to go.
Yeah.
And then, you know, I was just here, like, doing the rest of the stuff. And it is really cool. It's like, I feel like Gabe becomes... Like, I get closer and closer with Gabe every time we record. Cause sure. It's like, oh, like, some of my music is really, like, it's inspired by, like, really personal things that are happening in my life right now. You know what I mean? So I'm, like, talking to him about it. And, like, you know, it would be about 11 o'clock. And I'd be like, I think it's about time for a studio seltzer. Like,
yeah, there we go.
I really don't drink as much as, like, as it may seem. But, like, when you're recording.
Oh, I was worried for a little while, man. I heard the stories.
I'm just kidding.
When you're recording, it's like, hey, you know, this will just help me loosen up a little bit. Like, you don't want to you don't want to be impaired.
Sure.
But, you know, a couple, you're like, hey, this can help me loosen up a little bit. It is. I totally agree. Like, being in the studio is so different than, you know, I feel like there's different phases of music. Like, you're writing, you're recording, you're performing, you're rehearsing. Yeah. Like, and being in the studio, it's like something that's kind of, you don't do it all the time, so when you're in it, it's like, it's very vivid, and you're like remembering a lot of stuff that's happening, you know.
Oh, yeah. No doubt.
And you're also just like when you're in the studio, like, you're like, the way that I see it is that like, music is like the one like art form where you don't have the canvas in front of you with your work of art until after you're done with the studio and after it's been mastered and everything like that, and it's had all these touches added to it that are so, like, they're like foreign like entities like coming in and like kind of like not necessarily manipulating but like having a hand in what you do to kind of color what you're doing. It's like, I feel like it's the only art form where it's like, it takes literally, like, it can take years for that to like have like a physical like manifested like product of like, oh, like, this is like the song that I wrote 2 years ago that like I just now have like a way of listening to it and being like, this is like what I imagined it to be,
and it's at its final form.
Yeah,
that's
such
a cool feeling.
Yeah,
it's like a new song, but it's so familiar to you.
It makes me so like genuinely happy, like whenever like something that I've wanted and like visualized so many times over and over and over again, and it kind of changed a little bit, kind of finally coming to fruition, is like the greatest feeling ever, and I'm so jealous of every painter. Like, able to like do that,
yeah,
and like maybe it takes them the same amount of time. I lack that kind of perspective, but like I feel like it's a bit more of like a pleasure for them where they have that in front of them pretty quickly, like relative to music maybe, and probably a lot cheaper.
Yeah, probably. Yeah. We have an expensive hobby.
Oh, dude, music in it. Yeah. I just got like a very small pedal board because I don't use a lot of pedals, but like I just bought that new guitar.
Yeah.
And like it is one of those things where it's like, especially with COVID, I'm like, you know, that was one of the things that kind of catalyzed me a little bit. I was like, okay, the world could literally, feels like it could end in an instant. I'm going to start really putting some energy and time into doing the things that I love,
just
which is
fire music.
Yeah, it really did. It really did.
I felt that too. Yeah.
For the first few months, I didn't do anything.
No, like, sure. Yeah.
I was just like, the world's ending. I might as well just sit here and rot in my apartment.
Yeah. Like, I mean, like, where's the motivation, you know?
Yeah.
Like, that's the thing. You have this, like, reason now. You, like, all of a sudden have, like, this reason to do something. And then, like, you just lack the motivation. Like, what's the point in it? Like, that's kind of like that inner, like, monologue. It's like, I was there too. I get it. Yeah. it was like a tough little moment there for I think like everybody.
Yeah, it was hard.
Oh, fuck, like what do we do?
I felt, okay, here's another old thing. I felt like doing, so last year when it was all coming up, like March mm-hmm. and April, I was watching the news every day.
Yeah, same.
I never watched the news ever, but I was like.
I mean, on Twitter, I was looking at the news.
Yeah. I haven't stopped watching the news.
It was like YouTube then. Live or something.
Yeah.
I'm going to watch, one of my channels that I watch, but instead there's YouTube Live news channel, and I'm like. Okay, and then kind of sit there and then get really worried and stressed out. But then things, you know, it went to shit. But luckily enough, we've never had much issue or anything that. So
I mean, I haven't gotten sick yet. Knock on wood. But like, I feel like this is gonna change. I've talked to my girlfriend about it a little bit, and like she said the same thing, like. Some of the things that are changing now, I don't think things will necessarily ever go back to normal, quotes.
Yeah.
Like, I think we're just always going to be very hesitant to, like,
yeah.
You know, back in the day, you would, like, we have our show coming up.
Yeah.
I want to hug every single person in there. But, like, people are very weird about, like, don't hug me, don't touch me, don't come too close to me. Yeah. Like, I'm such a hugger and, like, a physical touch person. Like, but, you know, that's not going to be... I've heard a lot of people say, like, I don't want people touching me. I don't want people coming close to me.
This is a lesson in, like, physical space.
Yeah. Like, I don't even like people when I go to the grocery store. For the most part, I use Instacart because, it's convenient. Yeah. And I would much rather just have somebody drop my groceries off at my... Unless I'm, like, in the mood to go to the grocery store and wander around and buy shit. Like, but, you know, I like getting a notification on my phone. Your groceries are at your door. You know what I mean? It's just nice.
I'm royalty now.
yeah. It's but like, even at the grocery store, somebody starts getting a little bit too close to you to me, and I'm like, just back up a little bit, dude. Like you know, like I don't want you that close to me. Like you might have COVID. Like you might make me sick, and then that's gonna put me out for. I'm not going to be able to do anything for a few weeks. I mean, not that I don't want to get sick and give it to other people. You know what I mean? Like, so it's just,
well, that's the thing.
It's a weird thing now.
Well, last year was the year I ended up moving out from my parents' house and everything with, my girlfriend. And then it's as weird as it is, we like connected more over that. So it was kind of like I'm not saying it's a good thing, but we connected over that whole situation because we were with each other the whole time. I mean, like, it worked out for us.
I think it's good to find like the silver lining in that.
Yeah, sure, absolutely. Yeah. You know, there's something in tragedy that happened out good in our situation.
Yeah.
You know? But and other than getting used to, or like adjustments, getting used to like wearing masks and stuff. I mean, I've always social distanced, right? Unless I'm at a show, and then I'm drenched in other people's sweat and smell like a trash bag. But like not that I miss that, but like coming.
That's kind of the charm.
Coming back home and I smell like ass or something from a citizen show or a turnover or something, and like that was a good time.
Absolutely, yeah.
It's a victory smell.
It is. No, I agree with you, dude. I met my girlfriend a couple months after COVID, like online, and
nice.
The not the old person thing.
Yes.
We did it.
It's an online dating app, and like because of COVID, like we didn't want to go to a lot of like the normal things that you do, like go to a movie, go to restaurants, like go out to dinner. We did go to like a nice dinner one night, like a month into us dating, but like. For the most part, we would just spend time hanging out at each other's apartments, like on the balcony or like talking, having a bottle of wine, like having dinner, like ordering curbside, having dinner together, going on, like we went on a lot of hikes together.
True.
And that like really, for the first year, pretty much like brought us together in a way that like we, if things would have been normal and we would have been able to do all those regular like early relationship stage things, like maybe we wouldn't have been as close, like because we would just hang out at each other's apartment, talk for hours, you know.
And would you have made that time otherwise, you know?
Exactly. Who knows?
Yeah. That's what's, like, I think it really, you know, It helped. Because, I mean, yeah, it's an awful thing to ever happen to anybody. I mean, especially the people that really, really suffered from it. But
yeah,
we, you know, we tried to stay positive. And, you know, if unfortunately there was a few times either with her family or in my family where someone had tested positive and we'd have to stay away or whatever and stay isolated. That's why it was nice to be moved out already at that point and like we could just hang out with each other. But now like we're going out to the movies or we're not going out to a restaurant or anything. We just have time with each other, go on a hike, you know.
Dan, you also had a way different experience being down in like Washington.
Yeah.
As opposed to like being up here in like St. Louis County or St. Louis City.
Yeah.
Because like
country town, man.
Yeah.
It's very advanced for Franklin County. It is a very progressive place compared to anything else.
Yeah.
I don't know.
So what do you guys feel like what's next for you with Gold? You've hinted at we were hanging out at the Candyland album release show and you were telling that like you guys have hinted at a little bit in this podcast, like what direction are you guys going? Like what's next for Goaltender? And I really love your new EP, so don't abandon like the sound too much. But yeah, like
I think we want to ease into it.
Yeah.
If I may.
Yeah,
I'm
agreeing with you.
Okay, I think.
Can I pop this real quick?
Yeah.
Ready?
Yeah.
I love it.
So I think we really want to ease into it. We've got some new songs that sound very similar to, like, the last EP before Dave and I came in, and. Dave and I have a tendency to, he was like the main writer in Old State, and I would just kind of like workshop with him in like 30 minutes and write a song. That's just how we work together. And now, like, we're still doing that, and I don't want to say it, but like, I think we're getting a lot more influence of like, we sound a lot more like Old State was kind of heading, but like in a lot more of a fun way.
Okay.
A lot more of like a very traditional kind of like, I think it still has that trademark kind of Goaltender sound, but it's still got that like kind of like melancholic kind of what's the word? Droning?
Droning. Yeah. Very, well, I wouldn't say ambient, but
yeah.
I bought a really expensive reverb pedal that I use a lot.
Yeah,
it makes me sound really cool.
My board grew 3 times that day.
Okay.
Dude, yeah. You use that. That's awesome that you can just play with
it's
that.
It's a pedal tree Nano.
I have one other pedal over here that, like, it's a...
He stays behind the drum set.
yeah.
Is it a looper?
It's a looper.
Yeah.
It's a looper. And that
we use
was
one of those.
So I could jam with myself sometimes.
We're using one of those for samples to broaden our sound.
Okay.
So like we
love
literally
the simplicity so much.
Yeah.
And I appreciate it.
Because we have a synthesizer as well as that looper playing, both playing like pad sounds behind 2 guitars and a bass.
You'll have to tell me how to do that.
Yeah, it's really cool. It's really cool.
They were messing with it last night at our practice.
Yeah.
And I was kind of looking and just, I mean, Dave just, he barged in and like, all right, let me get to work on this. And like, those two just went at it. And I'm like, peeking over the edge. And I'm like, I don't even want to deal with that. That is so complicated. I'm fine with my little pedal board. And I'm going to walk away.
Because I feel like with pedals, and I was talking about this with the guys from Dialogue, like, because Matt's a big pedal head.
Yeah.
And like, excuse me. I feel like you get to a point where like, you have so much shit on that board. It's like another instrument.
Yeah.
It's like, oh, it's not just my guitar now. It's like with things like delay and reverb, you're doing more than just like strumming or picking a note. It's like when it's delay, you have to like account for the fact that it's a delayed note.
Yeah.
There's trails falling behind it.
You know?
Yeah.
And so you have to kind of like, and then when you're mixing pedals together, it makes a completely different sound.
Yeah.
So you have to really like mess around with it. And I just never, when I was younger, I had like a wah pedal and I had some other, I kind of dabbled in like some distortion pedals and stuff, but like this little Fender Hot Rod Deluxe, like And now with my new Fender guitar.
Yeah.
Fender is not a sponsor of the podcast. But it sounds fucking good. Like, I just have always been kind of old school with that. Like, hey, I need a tuning pedal. Like, I do have a delay somewhere in here. There's a delay pedal, but like...
Wes, I'm telling you, all it takes is one. it takes one pedal where you're like, fuck. Like, you sit with it and it changes the way you write. You know what I mean?
It kind of does, because I never wanted to be like that. My first... This might sound a little lame, but way back when I first started playing guitar when I was 14, my buddy was playing guitar and I wanted to like... play guitar with him, but he ended up quitting at that point, and he had a Line 6 Echo Park.
Okay.
And it's a delay pedal.
Is it Echo Park a Linkin Park song?
Yeah.
I'm sure it was modeled after the old Echo Rack.
Exactly. Like
tape looper or whatever.
I've kind of dove into that history, but I didn't care enough. But anyway, so he's like, well, I'm quitting guitar, man. And then it's so stupid, but this is like when vaping came out. And when you're young and had a vape, you were kind of cool, I guess. And that sounds stupid, but I didn't want mine anymore because I thought it was a little lame. And then he goes, hey, man, trade me the vape. I'll give you the pedal. The very next day, he texted me and he's like, I lost the vape. And I'm like, well, I didn't lose the pedal. It's still on my board today.
It's true. Yeah, he still uses it.
Yeah, it's one of my favorites.
You traded your vape.
Yo, the best deal ever made.
The gear, the tone.
That vape didn't have.
And he lost it the next day.
So thanks to vaping, my interest in pedals has, my horizons have broadened. So
to lay it out though, I will say that the new sound is very similar. We're gonna ease into it. But it's very similar, but we're getting fancy.
And
we're getting kind of experimental and getting into the more droning kind of alternative vibe, like balance and composure. And stuff.
Okay.
Yeah.
I'm a very big balance and composure fan.
Thrice, like stuff like that. Just big sound, full on, like just in your face.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Okay.
But also very subtle.
I was just going to say it sounds awesome.
good.
There's a lot of nuance.
No, dude, that's awesome.
Yeah. You know, it's been, you know, over the past year we haven't been able to practice really, you know, and just trying to keep everybody safe. And recently we had like what, 3 practices before the pandemic.
Yeah.
And then we were like, all right, let's take a break, but then that gave us free time to do whatever, and then we came back to it around, I want to say, last September or October, maybe
something like that.
And then that's when we were like hit the ground running and started recording. We'd record at my house, we'd practice there, write the songs there, and then we record at my house, keep doing that, and like turned into this, like, now we have a big catalog, but we want it even bigger, just so we have some stuff to, you know, but we're, you know, learning to work with each other too. Yeah. Which is really cool.
Yeah, we've got like 9 songs and like 4 of them are good.
Nice. Yeah. Okay. Yeah. That's I get to that point too where I'm like, okay, I've got a bunch of songs. Like, some of them are good, some of them aren't.
Yeah.
But like, which ones do you really want to like put out to the world? You know what I mean? I think sometimes you have to do. I mean, I know this is like totally when you're this big of a band, like you two.
Yeah.
Like when you're that big of a band, like, you know, you're talking about a 12 song album and they make like, they write like 40 songs.
And
they take bits and pieces of each one, like, oh, I really love this riff and I really love this vocal melody and I really like this bass line is tight.
Mm-hmm.
But like the reality is we don't have that kind of time and that kind of money to do that in the studio. Or
yeah,
like,
they have
you know,
a guy hired on to do that for them.
Yeah.
You know, too. So
yeah.
It's like, okay.
That's crazy.
Yeah.
Well, dudes, I'm so stoked to play with you. When I found out, well, so how I kind of, I saw your show. I was at your show in like 2018 17? At the Firebird.
At the Firebird. Oh, yeah.
And
right. R.I.P.
Yeah.
Firebird.
I was there, and I remember like looking up your video, the grief-stricken video,
mm-hmm.
and I was like, these guys are fucking cool. I was like, these guys are from St. Louis. This is like good music.
Yes.
And so when I started 314 Punk, you were one of the first bands that I was like, okay, I want to highlight these guys. But then also, I mean, I'm really just into your sound. I you guys kind of have that like story so far, Knuckle Puck, like citizen type sound, and
cool.
And the lyrics too are also kind of like, they're deep. You know, like you're talking about, even just the chorus of that one song is so codependent. You know, like,
yeah.
Like that. That's just such a, for me, like, I'm into that kind of shit. So like,
I'm glad that it like hits home for, you know, for you. I mean, like it hits home for us too. I mean, there's so many times we write songs and then we're like, don't use these words, don't use these lyrics or something like that. But then we, you know, ended up keeping them, or Nick would help with writing, or Ace would help with writing too, but like that was very minimal. But I mean, dude, I'm just happy that you like it. I'm happy that anybody likes it. When I see one play on Spotify in the analytics, I'm like, dude, I hope that dude's doing all right and that he's getting a full belly, you know?
And like, that dude's just like, fuck this band.
This really sucked. I wasted 30 seconds.
I mean, that was one of the reasons why, though, I wanted to have you guys play this show that we're going to be doing coming up at Heavy Anchor. Like, I just, and then when I found out you were a part of the band, we had met before, and I had seen Old State a couple of times, and I was like, this seems like the right thing to do. And I mean, you know, I have, I have like buddies that are in bands. Candy Lion is a band. I was in a band with Brandon for several years, and like, you know, there's other people that like I could ask that are like buddies of mine that like I play, that we play with all the time.
Yeah.
And like, but I was like, I want to do something a little bit different. Like I feel like that's part of like my band is a little bit more old school punk. Sure. Like, you know, we're like older school pop punk, little skate punk. And you guys are like newer pop punk. And then you have like Young Animals. That's like this math rock emo type thing. And I was like, this is kind of a little bit of a mixed bill. Like we're all kind of I think anybody who goes to that show is going to enjoy it. But like, I was really excited to play with you guys. And I'm stoked to just like rip the fuck out of this gig. Yeah, right?
I'm excited to see Young Animals. I haven't seen those guys in years. And I just really love seeing them.
I got to listen to them. I had the pleasure.
Yeah.
I love it.
Yeah, it's really good. They're very good. Yeah. They're very good.
So. Makes me want to relax, and if I was still in school, that's what I would listen to and do homework, but then get really distracted because I like it so much.
Dude, I'm like telling you, they're way more talented than any of us are.
You're way more talented than me, so.
They're really good, so. Cool, well, and it's Goaltender STL on Instagram, right?
Correct. Goaltender STL, and Thank you.
All right. Well, thank you guys so much for being a part of this. And much luck.
Thank you.
Woo! Bye, guys.